give you some results of short baseline neutrino experiments, and a short part will be status of oscillation experiments, then charm production by these experiments, and some summary. Now, I apologize to all those short baseline experiments I will not mention, but in the talks of this afternoon, many of those will be mentioned specially, so I didn't want to overlap with these experiments. So I therefore in this talk mainly concentrate on the CERN program. This is just to not overlap with the other talks. And the other experiments are covered by these speakers later. The motivation of the CERN Nu Mu Nu Tau oscillation program in the early 90s was that we would look at the cosmologically relevant region at a few electron volt scale. And in that region, the seesaw mechanism could accommodate EV scale masses and relatively small mixing. Now, of course, after super K, we know better, and smaller mass difference are clearly favored. But the results of the LSMD experiment indicate that it is useful to look also where you don't expect things, and certainly to finish those measurements. The experiments were done in the West Area neutrino facility at CERN with a beam line with average neutrino energy around 27 GeV, average distance of the detectors from the decay of the order of 600 meters, and the beam is predominantly muon neutrinos with 5% entry neutrinos from new mu bars, 1% new e's, which will become important in the later part of the talk, and the prompt new tau from this beam is negligible. One of the experiments in that beam is the NOMAD experiment, which is a large magnetic spectrometer detector. They are sensitive to the appearance of tau neutrinos by very precise kinematic study of the events. Although it is still difficult, because if you look at the events, then in isolation of the decay track from the tau, you have to tau events are sandwiched between neutral currents and charge currents. And also, if you look at the imbalance of the event, then the tau events are between what you would expect from neutral currents and charge currents. So we have to describe both interactions very well. CORUS was the other experiment in this beam, using a heavy emulsion target and a spectrometer behind it. The detection mechanism for the tau is to look at a kink in the emulsion, so which is to look at, and is therefore also sensitive to any other decay process. The emulsion readout has been fully automatized during the experiment, so these pictures are taken by a system which then also analyzes this at the same time, and you see in this picture what you would see by eye if you move the focal plane down towards a neutrino interaction. So what you see is tracks which then close together getting to the neutrino interaction. The status of the Nu Mu Nu Tau search is summarized here. The NOMA data is completely final. The CORUS is still working on phase two data, which is not yet finished. The result is given here, where for the Nu Mu Nu Tau interactions, this is status of 2 years ago. And for new E Nu Tau interactions, its oscillation can also be derived from these measurements because of the 1% contamination of the new E's in the beam, which could also oscillate. I will now concentrate a little more on the more recent Nu Mu E oscillation in NOMAD. This effort was of course motivated by the LSMD result. The final results are now available since about a year. Due to the electron neutrino component in the beam, if you want to reach a 10 to the minus 3 sensitivity, you have to control the electron component at better than the 10% level. So they exploited, of course, their powerful electron identification, which in fact, it was the driving design aim for NOMAD. But for this particular measurement, they had to study very carefully the energy spectra of the neutrino beam. And the signal would be enhanced at low energy. And the radial distributions they also studied would be enhanced at the center. So these graphs show how well they have studied this beam line. The final results, they show as a ratio of electron over muon charge current events versus the expected curve. So the expected is in yellow, and the data are black. The events are compatible with the known sources, therefore there are no evidence for oscillations. And if you look at this compilation plot with the LS&D data in purple and blue, the NOMAD data can exclude completely the higher delta M squared range. The remainder of the talk, I will talk about charm production. So there are additional results of NOMAD and CORUS on charm physics. And there are also other results, which Leslie Camilleri will be discussed this afternoon. In NOMAD, the charm physics is accessible because they have a very good invariant mass reconstruction of the D star and the D0 decay. In CORUS, this is a topological search, so it's sensitive to both neutral and charm particle, neutral and charged charm particles, sorry. And so they can study decay properties, fragmentation, exploiting the topological recognition. Now, this is only possible because of the phase two of the emulsion analysis, where they use the net scan technique. The idea is that once the event is located, all tracks around the vertex are measured by an automatic system in eight plates. This is the overlay of eight plates. Now, then once tracks are, so these are little track segments, once tracks are made, you get a cleaning up of the events. If you eliminate all through passing tracks, you can start to make a vertex reconstruction. Maybe this projector doesn't show you very well. We see here a, unfortunately, but so you can then reconstruct the primary vertex, and in this picture is the secondary vertex of a D0. So with the, this resulted in a measurement of D0 production. The full sample of about 100,000 charge current events was used. I will not go through the details, but there are about 1,000 confirmed D0 decay events with slightly different selection efficiency for the topological two-prong and four-prong decay mode. The background is very small and only on the two prongs. This gives a measurement of the topological V4, we call it, over V2 decay of 21%. Now, this can be used for another measurement because the branching ratio into four prongs is known is fully measured, and therefore the sum of these branching ratios can be compared to the branching ratio we measure. This then gives a also a measure of the absolute part of the branching ratio of the two prongs, and everything else, because of the six prong being negligible, is then the branching ratio of the D0 into all neutrals, and we find that this is about a quarter with a 20% error on that. Now, if you look in the particle data book, only 5% is known. So we know that 20% of the D0 decay modes are not measured. It also allows us to get a total production cross-section through the absolute normalization of the four-prong decays to be 2.7% with a 10% error of the charge current cross-section. Fragmentation was studied by Nomad and Chorus. Nomad uses the D-stars and have full kinematic measurement. Chorus uses the D-zero events and use an unfolding method to get to the kinematics. So this is the decay chain which allows Nomad to isolate the events. They then make kinematical cuts and a neural network to enhance the purity. This is the estimator output of the neural network, where they make two cuts, one very high purity, one lower purity. You can see the results here. The lower purity sample allows them to study the background, which is fully combinatorial. And the higher purity sample, here is signal for background of the Monte Carlo, and here is the data. So they have a nice peak of 35 events over a 12-event background, which allows them to measure the production cross-section of the D-star as a ratio, as a fraction of the charge current events, which is order 1% compatible with an earlier BEPS measurement. This comes later. The transverse momentum measurement distribution could be measured by Nomad for this sample and fit it to an exponential. I come to these fits later. Chorus does not measure the D0 momentum directly because all decay modes are used, but there is a good correlation between the opening angle, or the inverse opening angle of decay daughters and the momentum. And using this, using this distribution, the momentum distribution can be measured. I still have 10 minutes. The Z distribution can be measured by both experiments. So Nomad finds this, the Z is defined as the energy of the D divided by the energy transfer. So this is the fragmentation energy ratio. And Nomad fits this curve to the Collins, Spiller, and Peterson formulas. I come to with a table of the results later. And the Chorus data was fitted to the Peterson formula. This is D zeros, and these are D stars, by the way. And in this case, the dotted curve is the input model, which is a bit harder than what we find in the data. Some animation. The Feynman X distribution was also measured by both experiments, which he is a zero in the case of Nomad, he is a zero in the case of Chorus. So you see that most charmed particles are produced in the forward direction. This is a table of fragmentation results. I only want to point to the measurements of the Peterson epsilon, which has a quite large spread. Also comparing to the dimuon events and E531 measurements, this may be due to different mixtures of charm final states. So E531 also has all charm decays, including lambdas and so on, lambda Cs. Nomad D star, Chorus D zero, and the dimuon experiments are weighted by the muonic decay modes. So we may be looking at different fragmentation processes altogether. The Chorus also has a measurement of lambda C production. The lambda C can be separated from other charged D's, from the charged D's, by looking at the flight length distribution. This is published and based on half of the statistics. So in the short flight length, you see that the lambda C is dominant. Lambda C's are, I think I skipped this. This explains that there is a different selection for longer and shorter flight length. This leads is a bit complicated. So combining these two selections, we find a branching, first of all, the branching ratio of lambda seen to three prong to be 24%. The total fraction of lambda C's over charge current produced is 1.5%, which shows that this is a appreciable fraction of the total charm production. Thank you. Now, you can ask yourself how much of those lambda C's are produced in quasi-elastic interactions. So this is special analysis done. For a quasi-elastic interaction, the topology is just a mu minus, and either one, what is seen, of course, is the one track at the vertex for the lambda C plus, or if the lambda C plus comes from a sigma C plus plus decay, there is also a pi plus. So these topologies are looked at. Then the two selection criteria are, of course, short flight length to get lambda C's, low energy in the calorimeters to select quasi-elastic events, and then a cut at the angle between the muon and the charm, also in order to discriminate quasi-elastic from deep inelastic events. The result is that the charm, quasi-elastically produced charm over the charge currents is 0.2%. This is based on 13 events. I can show a few distributions. So this is the energy distribution. The drawn curve is without quasi, so this is a deep inelastic production. So we look in the first energy bin, and if you look in the first energy bin, the data is in angle peaked back to back, which for deep inelastic you would not expect, and for quasi elastic you do expect. So there's a clear signal. Associated charm production was also looked at by Chorus. One event in charge current interactions was published a few years ago. This event is shown here. So it's a D0 and a charged D decay. Now, based on, well, after that event, a systematic search with the full data set was started. So in neutral current events and charge current event both, in the past in neutral current events not only one event observed in E531 emulsion, there's an indirect search performed by NUTEV which gives a production rate of 2.6 times 10 to the minus 3 at very high neutrino energies, 150 GeV. So Chorus started a systematic search for double decay topologies, and with selection criteria which have a very low background in the order of 0.1 event. I should mention that in the neutral currents there are two processes, is the Zell-Gluon fusion and the gluon-bremsstrahlung process, which can play a role, while in the charge currents it can only be gluon-bremsstrahlung. There's one example of a neutral current event which was observed. This is the spectrometer, there's no muon seen. So this is a zero mu neutral current event. These are all the tracks coming out of the emulsion. If we zoom the emulsion target, there are two decays of a D0, both in two prong. And these tracks are also seen by the electronic detector. Both decays are inconsistent with a lambda zero or K0 decay. So this is a very clean topology. There's also an example here of a charge current event. Again, two D0s. And both decay topologies are inconsistent with a background event. So you see clearly the muon coming out, so this is a charge current. So this process is now observed both in neutral current and charge current interactions. We have a handful of events, and the cross-sections now being, full analysis of the cross-sections is now being done. I would like to mention also a charm production in antineutrino interactions, which for which only dimuon data was available up to now, with a rather large background. Now, with of course, we are using the antineutrino contamination in the beam. Therefore, it is, which is only 5%. So it is important to make a selection which reduces the mu minus, or wrongly measured mu minus background in the beam. So there's some additional selections made. After all cuts, we find 32 charm production events by antineutrino, from which we can derive a total antineutrino charm production over charge current deep inelastic interaction cross section of about 5% with the 20% error, with a energy dependence which is shown here. In particular, the very low energy point is not accessible to dimuon data, of course. I would like to spend the last few minutes of the talk on something which is a different topic. In the CORUS calorimeter, we have observed events with three muons in a final state. Now, this is not new. This was also done by CDHS and HPWF. The total number of events seen by these two experiments is of the order of 100. But at the time these experiments were analyzed, the source of these events were largely unknown. We can now profit from the fact that there is more data available, which allows us to check whether there is anything special with those events. So we work with 6 million triggers in the calorimeter. This is not the emulsion target. It's a calorimeter target. 42 trimuon events were observed of minus, minus, plus type and three of the other sign with a momentum cut of 5 GeV. Now, a very detailed Monte Carlo was done in order to check all known sources. And what is now important is that there is now knowledge of production rates of the eta, rho, omega, eta prime, and phi. In fact, of the eta, rho, and omega are now measured in BEPS, but also there are new measurements by NOMAD, which are very valuable for this Monte Carlo. I can show here the data. So if we look at all, so the data is this histogram here. The internal Bremsstrahlung process is shown below, which is a QED process. There is charm production with an additional decay of a pion in green. So this you would call background maybe. And then the remaining red zone is the vector meson production. So if we add up those components, it turns out that we can explain the cross-section very well. And if you make a cut at 90 degrees, where we remove the internal Bremsstrahlung, and we also see that the invariant mass is well described by the hypothesis of vector mesons. So this is detailed here. I will not give all the results. So here are all the vector mesons, and here are the contributions. Together with the other two processes, we predict 40 events, and we find 42. So I'm at the summary. So I have shown the results, which are final for NOMAD, and where CORUS is still working on the phase two analysis of the final statistics for the oscillation program at CERN. However, those experiments have been able to do many additional measurements. In this talk, I concentrated on charm physics, production cross-section, fragmentation functions, and decay properties. In fact, there are more measurements still being done. And there are, of course, also other results, and they will be shown this afternoon by Leslie. Okay, thank you.